Thank you to Ziggy's for sponsoring Musician Talk.
Ziggy's is your full-service, locally owned and operated service station and convenience store. Along with servicing your vehicle, Ziggy's also offers full service on your small engines, too. Stop in now before the mowing season begins, and they'll give you a free blade sharpening with every lawnmower tune-up. And Ziggy's supports other local businesses by selling their products in their convenience store. From Dick Simon's maple syrup to Cannon Bell's cheese to treats by Tea Jelly, you'll find it all at Ziggy's.
At Ziggy's!
Corner of Highway 3 and St. Olaf Avenue, Northfield.
Hello, this is Pauline Jennings, and you're listening to Musician Talk, my series of interviews with local area musicians. The plan is to have conversations that are intimate and relaxed and fun. So enjoy. My first interview is with Craig Wozner, a musical icon in the Northfield community and beyond. He plays keyboards and guitar, and he sings, he composes, he arranges, and he records music out at his studio, Wozner Audio. He studied music at the University of Minnesota Duluth and at Berklee College of Music in Boston. He's performed with national recording artists such as John Hiatt and Hal Ketchum and others. Craig's musical talent is a gift that he has shared freely, and I have been a beneficiary of that generosity. Craig mentions his brother in the interview, Pete Wozner. Pete, among very many other things, has written a couple of hit songs for Vince Gill and also plays piano for him. Craig lives on a small farm near Northfield, Minnesota with his wife, Linda. He has three children, Lana, 32, Marin, 31, who is a singer, and Casey, 30, who plays guitar for Keb Mo, among many other things. So music was inherited and passed down. Lovely. He also has two grandkids. He has put on 15 annual Craig Wozner and Friends benefits for World Vision and has raised over $500,000 from ticket sales and donation commitments. As band leader for Over and Back benefit shows, sold out performances produced significant cash donation for 55 Northfield, Minnesota area charities. So you can see, Craig is a wonder, and he's done a ton of good for this community. So I'm very honored to have him as my first interview on Musician Talk. Let's talk with Craig. Here we go. Hey, Craig.
Hey.
Craig, I am interested in how you're doing during this time of isolation. All your loved ones doing well?
Everything seems to be great. It's not too much different, except Linda's working from home. Linda's my wife, and I'm just hanging out here most of the time, so I don't bug her in there. But it's been
that's good. And you're in your studio right now, right?
Yeah. I'm glad I got a space to do that.
I got that. I understand. Everybody's good.
Oh, that's how about good. You guys? You doing all right?
Yep. Steve and I are doing really well. We're getting a lot of projects done. We really like each other, so that's good. I don't have a separate building to go to. So I am curious as how your musical journey began.
Well, you know, as I remember it, I took piano lessons from like kindergarten through fourth grade, I think. Something like that.
Wow. Okay.
And mom, well, we had a piano teacher in Illinois, but I think I made it through like the fourth grade book of John Thompson. Remember that, the red books?
I do. I had piano lessons mm-hmm. as well.
You know, Swans on the Lake.
Nice.
But then, let's see, the Beatles came out in, when was that, 63 or something like that. So everybody kind of was moving to guitar, so because everybody wanted to play the Beatles kind of stuff.
Sure, of course. I'm curious as to, did you enjoy practicing when you were playing the piano those 4 years when you were in those John Thomas books?
Really hated it, yeah.
You did?
Really hated it. I'd be sitting at the piano, you know, mom would be doing the dishes or something, and I'd, you know, we'd make a mistake. That's a B flat!
Oh, so your mother was a musician.
She was a piano player. Yeah.
She knew.
She kind of taught us. Yeah.
you lived in terror of practicing.
Yeah.
When did you make the transition from being a practicer and one who did not like it to being a player, somebody who sat down to play because you enjoyed it? Do you remember that?
Well, we had bands. We started having bands when we were in like seventh grade.
Okay. And, on guitar?
Guitar. I was playing guitar at that time. And we had a great we had a neighbor up the road. The folks bought us a set of drums and an amp. So they really wanted us to, it really kind of upset a few of the neighbors.
I bet. I understand that, living with the drummer. So yes.
Yeah, so, exactly. We started playing in seventh, eighth grade, something like that, and had bands through high school, and then kind of just kept progressing like that.
So would you say getting together with your friends was kind of the transition into wanting to play as opposed to having to play, or just getting better and being able to play more songs? What do you think made you into a musician? You know what I mean? That different from being forced to do it than wanting to do it.
There came a time there where, what are you going to do with your life? You know,
sure.
Like my brother Pete was going to be a dentist.
He was.
So we both played in different bands throughout high school and everything. He went to the university to be a dentist, and he figured out that, no, that's not what I want to do. I want to do the music thing. So somewhere along the line there, I went to UMD out of high school. I was a music major, but it was all classical, and it was very difficult for me to get into, you know. Uh-huh.
Right.
And so me and Pete made a decision to just go to this other place and learn more contemporary jazz kind of leadings, you know, and stuff like that.
And that other place was?
It's at Berklee College of Music in Boston.
That's what I thought. And, very renowned place.
Yeah, and we stayed there for a year, which was a good thing because it made you practice and you got better. And all of a sudden he says, hey, man, I want to go out and do some gigs. Yeah. All of a sudden you decide that I want to do this for a living. I don't want to teach necessarily.
Sure.
But somewhere in that, yeah, I decided to do the music thing.
So Pete was going to school to be a dentist and you were going to school to be a classical musician or a teacher or whatever it was when you made the transition into wanting to play in bands and be a musician, a working musician.
Yeah.
And what inside of you made that choice? Let's just say sitting behind a desk makes my fingers itch almost if I'm doing it too much. If I'm standing and singing, I'm in my joy. I just was wondering how your feelings around playing and how it makes you feel and how it feeds you.
Well, playing's easy for me.
Okay.
As opposed to some other things.
Sure, right. No, and we like to live in the place doing things.
Yeah, and I feel real comfortable there.
Right, because you have a gift to do it.
Yeah, and there's situations as a player where you get a little nervous or you get a little edgy and it's, but for the most part, it's there and it makes me feel good. You know, it's just a fun thing to do.
Exactly.
It's not like a job so much as a...
I'm interested in also how it has affected your life, like your parenting and your marriage, your friendships. What comes to mind when I bring those up, how music has affected those areas of your life?
It was really easy for me to be a little bit intimidated by players, you know, better players and stuff like that. But after a bit, it says, well, this is what I do. This is who I am. This is the way I play, and kind of take it or leave it and learn what you can, you know, as you're going along. I don't know, encourage people in the same position to say, man, you sound great. Let's do this.
So maybe you started with that generous heart that you have, and perhaps music brought that out more in you because of the people that you're around, you're teaching and you're helping. And I have certainly felt that from you when I've been rehearsing with you or on stage with you. You want to lift everybody up. You're not there to be better than anybody. You're there for the music. I would like to move to a song. I had asked, as I will ask all the interview subjects, to pick a couple songs that are important to them or that were transitional in their life, perhaps, that they have a little story about. And I asked you to do the same thing. Were you able to pick out a couple tunes like that?
Oh, I came up with a couple when my sister put out a record. There's a tune on there called Utah Moon.
Utah Moon, okay.
Yeah, and it's a tune that was written by Michael McGinnis and Kelly McNish. I don't know, we learned this tune from my brother Pete from back in the 70s. So anyway, the thing about that tune is that I play a piano solo on it, and I I think it's probably the best little piece of recording that I've ever done.
Oh, wow.
And it's just short. It's only like, if it's 30 seconds, you know. I know that when we recorded that, we were in the studio at McKinsey's there. And the Kauai, you know, just wouldn't hang for very long, you know. And they just had it tuned. It was just sounding great. And we sat down and played that tune. And for some reason, everything just worked great. That's the way I remember it.
Right.
You know.
You were in the zone completely.
Yeah, and it's just a short little instrumental in the tune, you know, that. And that was
many years ago. That was 25 years ago, perhaps?
Yeah, sometime in the early 90s, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
But I remember that, and because I sometimes struggle in a studio kind of a thing, but.
Why do you think that is?
I have no idea. I just kind of screw up.
So you would not call yourself a one-take wonder, is what you're telling me.
I wouldn't think so. Okay. But on that song, I was. So.
Nice.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yes. Awesome. I remember Bluer, a song that a band I was in that we did, and you were in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the most beautiful intros to a song ever. Yeah. And all I said to you is, Craig, I want to take it out of time a little bit. And just like kind of free flow, play, and then at the end, you know, after, you know, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, go into the groove. And it's one of the most beautiful little intros to a song I think I've ever heard. So
that's a nice tune, too.
Yeah, it is.
You do a wonderful job on that tune.
Thank you, Craig. So let's take a listen.
Very beautiful.
Let's take a listen.
Utah moon, shine your light. Won't you shine it right on the one I love? Utah moon, you know where to shine tonight. Won't you guide me right to the one I shine it right on the one I love. You hold the Utah moon, you know where to shine tonight. Won't you guide me right to the one I love? Ooh, I see you winking behind that tree. Shine your light on my path tonight and guide me to the one that's waiting underneath the Utah moon. Shine your light. won't you shine it right?
Yeah, that was great, Craig. Yeah. I loved that solo. It is awesome. Your sense of music is just so, what a gift. And so I have a question for you about, in the macro sense, what do you think that, and I know it's different for every person, but what do you think music, the importance of it in a macro sense in our community?
Music can be very, very soothing and relaxing for you. You know, mm-hmm. if you're in a tough spot or something like that, you can throw some music on it, you enjoy, and just listen. Just listening to music is a good thing, whether it's classical or jazz or whatever you enjoy it to listen to. And I think that there's so many different kinds of music that, mm-hmm. that can be heard, you know.
Right.
It's just... I don't know. And playing it's a whole different trip too. You know, it gives you a certain release.
And how about the feeling of when you're in the zone, like after a gig where you feel like everybody's in the zone?
There's been many times when I've come home from a gig or something like that, where that's happened, where, and you think about it all the time. I remember Steve was, had a previous gig and he had to miss half of one of those over and back shows.
Yes, Steve, my husband, Steve.
Yeah, Steve Jennings.
Okay, got it.
And even though he's a drummer, he's a nice guy. Casey played the first half of the show. My son Casey's a drummer. And when we got home from the gig, it was about midnight, 12:30. He's sitting in his bedroom with his head in his hands, looking at the floor. And I knew what he was doing. And I said, "Okay, what are you doing? Kind of reliving it?" And he goes, yeah. So there's things like that that move a person, like playing-wise, you know, they said, man, oh, man. And then you get done with the kitchen. Man, we had some great moments in there. Sometimes moments can be just like that, you know, where you say, whoa, what was that? Truly believe there's a whole bunch of healing power in music.
Yes.
You know, just what that means. I don't know how to explain that, but...
I think you just said it, the healing power, and that you can relive those, that healing too. Like you said, you know, you, after a gig, you get home as a musician too, that you can relive that glory, that joy, the exuberance, all those things.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yes.
Yeah. That's just beautiful.
Yes. It's beautiful. And it's so important. We're going to be very serious right now. So, I would like to hear another song. Do you have another one chosen for us? Is there something you want to play or a recording that you want us to listen to?
The other tune was the Silver Thunderbird thing by Mark Cohen.
Yeah.
I kind of like that tune.
I do too.
Reminds me a lot of my dad.
In what way?
Oh, just kind of just like him, you know. Drives a big car. You know? Dad used to drive a 1970 Mercury Marquis Brougham, it was called.
I have no idea what that is.
It was a boat, man. And okay, it had like 300,000 miles on it, but he kept fixing it. But that's kind of a neat tune. And
it is.
We did a recording of that somewhere. I think it's on the Over and Back 10-year thing.
It is.
There's all kinds of tunes out there, but I haven't really written too many. So.
Okay. Well, I would agree with the Silver Thunderbird. I always look forward to hearing that when that's part of a set, because the way you do it is, it's so from the heart.
Yeah.
And you can tell that you're completely in it, and it kind of makes sense, more sense if there's a connection with your father there, if you're thinking about him as you're singing it, because you feel like there's something different about that song from maybe others in the set, where there's some connection there with deep feelings. That's cool.
There's tunes that when you're playing them and when you're in the thing, you know, your emotions can kind of freak you out a little bit.
And here it is. Thank you.
watch it coming up Winslow, down South Park Boulevard. Yeah, it was looking real good from tail to hood. Great big fence and painted steel, man, it looked just like the Batmobile, with my old man behind the wheel. You could hardly even see him in all of that room, the man with the plan and the pocket comb. But every night it carried him home, and I could hear him saying, don't you give me no beware, son, you must take. There's a God in heaven, he's got a silver thunderbird. You can keep your Eldorado and the foreign cars absurd. Me, I wanna go down in a silver thunderbird. He got up every morning. Remember the sound of him shuffling around. Right before the crack of dawn is when I heard him turn the motor on. But when I got up, he was gone. Down the road in the rain and snow, the man and his machine would go. Oh, the secrets that'll come would know. Sometimes I hear him say, don't you give me no beware, son, you must take my word. There's a God in heaven, he's got a silver thunderbird. You can keep your Eldorado and the foreign cars absurd. Me, I wanna go down in a silver. Down the road in the rain and snow, the man and his machine wouldn't go. Or the secrets that old car would know. I can still hear him saying, don't you give me no beware, son, you must take my word. If there's a God in heaven, he's got a silver thunderbird. You can keep your Eldorados and the foreign cars absurd. Me, I wanna go down in a silver thunderbird. Don't you give me no beware.
You can take my word.
Son, you must take my word. If there's a God in heaven, he's got a silver thunderbird.
I love it. I just love it. Is there anything else that you wanted to say today? Do you want to, you know, say hi to your wife?
Yeah. She's beautiful. That's happy perfect. May Day.
Happy May Day. Thank you so much, Craig.
Okay. See ya.
All right. Thank you to Ziggy's for sponsoring Musician Talk. I go there not only to fill up my car with gas, but also to get my car fixed by Andrew, who is completely trustworthy. And I don't think there's higher praise for a mechanic than that. So thanks for keeping my car in good working order, keeping me safe. And thank you to Ziggy's for sponsoring Musician Talk. Really appreciate it. And have a great evening, folks.